Well, thank you, everyone, for tuning into our program today. You may know that Family Talk is a listener-supported program, and we remain on the air by your generosity, literally. If you can help us financially, we would certainly appreciate it. God's blessings to you all.
Today on Family Talk.
Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to this special edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. I'm Roger Marsh, and today you'll hear the remainder of a stirring interview Dr. Dobson began on yesterday's program with author Kim Meader. Kim is president and co-founder of Crystal Peaks Youth Ranch, an organization that uses rescued horses to heal the children suffering from physical and emotional scars who come to visit the ranch. On today's broadcast, Kim will tell her unbelievably tragic testimony involving the horrible death of her parents when she was just 9 years of age, and how she experienced the indescribable love of God through that dark time. Kim will also share how the events of her early life challenged her to reach out to kids and teens struggling through similar circumstances. Here now is the conclusion of this inspiring conversation on Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
Kim, it was such a pleasure to have you back with us again yesterday. We talked at the beginning of the program last time that you have been coming to do this broadcast along with your husband, Troy, since 2004. Mm-hmm. And the message is just as fresh now as it was then. Mm-hmm. And the work that you're doing at Crystal Peaks Youth Ranch, which Shirley and I visited some years ago, is a beacon for wounded and broken children, teenagers, and even some adults, right?
Yes.
You started with almost no money, and you had a little ranch. It wasn't even a ranch. It's a rocky piece of ground, 9 acres, and you were trying to run this youth ranch and horse therapy is what you call it, where horses somehow bond with broken children and broken teenagers. At the end of the program last time, I said I wanted you to tell the story of your childhood, going all the way back to 9 years of age and before.
Okay.
Because it's an absolutely dramatic and very sorrowful experience that you had as a child. Explain that to us.
It was sorrowful, but it's not anymore. Jesus never leaves us in our sorrow unless we choose to stay in our sorrow. As a child, I remember growing up and looking at my mom and just thinking that my mom was the most beautiful, happy, loving woman in the world, and I wanted to grow up and be just like her. And my dad was an outdoorsman and athlete, and he taught me how to water ski when I was four, and he was a downhill ski instructor, and he taught me how to downhill ski when I was also four, and muled me up my first volcano when I was five. And in my mind, there was nothing that my dad couldn't do. And I was certain that he wore a cape and flew. I was certain of it. He was just a superhero in my eyes. And I was raised in the castle of their combined love. And there's something so indomitable in the heart of a child, and that kids see cracks and they see brokenness. But they just know that everything's going to be okay until it's not okay. And it was during that season of time that my dad's best friend came to my little grade school and picked me up, and he wouldn't speak to me. And he picked up my two older sisters. I'm the youngest of three girls. And we drove in silence a very familiar road toward my grandparents' house. And in the silence, I just had this choking feeling that I can't breathe. I can just feel that something terrible has happened and no one will tell me what it is. I can't breathe. And I looked at my oldest sister who was sitting next to me, and she was just streaming silent tears. She knew too. Something horrific has happened. And as we drove down the long driveway that led to my grandparents' house, I could see from a distance cars parked all in disarray. And even before the car was parked, I could feel grief just roaring from the house. And I remember for the first time in my life, I didn't want to go into a home that I love. I'm afraid to go in there. And I don't want to go. I remember being grabbed by my shoulders and just pushed through the door. And the house was filled with all these grieving, wailing people. And I was pushed into the arms of a woman that I recognized, but I didn't know her name. And she was crying so hard, she was almost choking. And she just kept going around and around in this sickening vortex of, I'm sorry, I'm sorry.
And still nobody would tell you.
No. And I remember she's trying to comfort me while she's gasping for breath, and she just keeps repeating, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm so sorry. And finally she just said, I don't know how to tell you this. I'm so sorry. Your dad has just murdered your mother and taken his own life. I'm sorry. So sorry. And I remember looking at her and just worlds colliding in that, wait a minute, my dad loves me. My dad loves my mom. He would never do that. You're a liar. And I just popped her in the chest and broke out of her arms and just ran out the back door in this child's effort to outrun the unthinkable, and just ran and ran and ran and ran until there was just nothing left inside. And it was even a short distance, and I had been running through an orchard that had just been plowed. It was in February, just days after Valentine's Day. All these cards of never-ending love just blown away. And I remember falling down in this soft, overturned dirt and grabbing handfuls of dirt in an effort to just hold on. If I can just hold on, it won't be true. And I was screaming and crying and gasping and inhaling dirt and retching and just writhing in the dirt. And I could hear like these like animal sounds. And I didn't even recognize the sound of my own voice as I started to cry out, Jesus, help me. Jesus, help me. I don't even know you, but I know I need you. And what I now know is that the Lord of all creation dropped everything and came and knelt in the dirt beside a breaking child and took the hand that was reaching out to him. And my Jesus has never let go. I did not know the fullness of what had just happened, or verses like Romans 10:13 that says, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. It doesn't matter who you are or what you were raised to believe or what culture you were taught. If you call on the name of Jesus, you will be saved. At that time in my life, I didn't even know who Jesus was. I only remember going to church twice. And all I knew about Jesus is I'm pretty sure he's the guy on the cross. But I can tell you with certainty, when your heart is being crushed by pain, it doesn't matter how we were raised or what we were taught to believe. We know intuitively to go to the one who made this heart, because we know he's the only one who can heal it, the love of Jesus Christ.
What were the days like in the aftermath of the murder-suicide of your parents? You go to school the next few days, and did you feel absolutely lost, empty?
All of the above. And anyone who has ever endured grief knows that it really isn't a day-by-day process. It's just a moment-by-moment process. We just take the next breath, and we take the next step, and we trust that Jesus is still Lord, and that what has rocked my world never rocks his.
Did you get into a church?
Not right away. No, it took us some time. I remember going to school, and I would sit in the bus, and it was a long ride home, over an hour, and I would just rock and stare at the door and just open the door, let me out, I've got to go. And I would run all the way down the driveway, straight through the front door, throwing stuff everywhere, out the back door, down the hill to where my little horse was, because I knew that for me at that time in my life, that there was no better place to cry than on her neck. And she never said, wait a minute, stop. You're not pretty enough. You don't have the nice clothes. You don't have the right friends. You don't earn enough. You're not smart enough. There was never a rejection from her. All there was that raise of the head and the ears forward and, oh, there you are. I've been waiting for you. And I would put a halter on her and just tie the rope around and jump on her back and just gallop and gallop and gallop and over creeks and logs and ducking under limbs. And in my child's mind, I always imagined that all the pain that was trying to destroy my life was never fast enough to keep up. And it would always be lost.
Well, that is really the origin of the ministry that you have today.
Straight up.
That it was your horse that helped get you through that. You're now providing horses to help abused and broken children and teenagers get through their pain.
It was through a horse that I came to know the love of Jesus Christ.
How could that be, Kim?
Just to be clear, I was not saved by a horse. I was saved by Jesus Christ on the back of a horse. And it was on the back of a horse that I felt safe. And in that safe presence is where the truth of God's word that I had been reading could find its way into my heart, because I felt safe. And I couldn't have known then that that safety that I felt in the presence of a horse to know Jesus Christ was the blueprint of everything that he was calling to be in the future. I couldn't have known it then. My heart was still in pain, but he knew. And he calls us to trust him through our pain, because there's always a purpose. And if we trust him long enough, we'll find it. And if we trust him long enough, sometimes that day is when we stand before him. And sometimes we get to turn back and have the luxury of time and say, oh, Lord, now I understand.
Well, truncate the rest of those years with your grandparents and then on into high school and beyond. Kind of summarize your life for us.
The summary of those years was, at that time, I was pursuing Jesus Christ, and where I was personally finding his peace was in the presence of a horse. And again, the horse didn't save me. Jesus saved me. But that's where I felt safe. And in the years that followed, I started attending church, attending Bible study, started teaching Bible study, went to Bible college, met and married my husband. We followed my grandparents from Northern California into Bend, Oregon, and we had no idea what Jesus had in store. We bought the only piece of property that we could afford, which was a cinder mine. And where I live, it's very volcanic, and they mine cinder out of the ground to put on the roads for traction. And we bought this demolition site. It was so destroyed that they couldn't even give it away. Nobody wanted it. And when I say destroyed, I mean that this property had no trees. It had no grass. It didn't even have dirt. We were so broke, we didn't even have dirt. And we bought this piece of property because it had this beautiful view of the Cascade Mountain Range and nothing in between. And I couldn't stand on this demolished land and not look at those beautiful mountains and know, Jesus, you are still God. You are still in control. And I feel your presence in this place. And because of what you've done in this heart, I know that you can do the same thing in this land. And I don't know what you're going to do, but you do. And so, Lord, I just lay it at your feet and I give it all to you. And it wasn't a very good gift to kneel in this broken, gnarly cinder pit and give it back to the Lord. And yet I could just feel his pleasure in, that's my girl. That's my little girl. And she's trusting me not only with her heart, but with this land. Now you watch and see what I do, because I am the God of loaves and fishes. And so I started going to all the adjoining ranches and asking them for anything organic to put on the floor of stone that would help grass to grow and plants to grow. And we started bringing all these things, hay and moldy hay, manure and stall shavings, and putting them over the floor of stone. And Troy was a landscape contractor at that time. And he started bringing home all these trees that were broken and the wrong type and the wrong shape and blocking people's view. And we started planting them in the floor of stone, having no idea what God was going to do. And during that time, I started volunteering at a horse ranch down the road. And every day I would leave after seeing such atrocity. Someone needs to do something. Someday this has got to change. And trust me, if you live long enough and you're listening to the Lord, someday will be today and someone will be you. And that day came, and I was moved to rescue two horses from that property. And we brought home two horses. One was missing a third of her body weight, over 300 pounds. If you did the math on yourself, you would die. And this was the first horse we rescued. And the second horse, I saw the former owner beat her so badly that he had to call a vet to come and sew up her face. My horse has an 8-inch scar between her eyes to this day. And those were the first two
horses. You still have that horse?
I still have her. Yes. The foundation, she's the fulcrum that started it all. And with that horse and with these broken horses and these broken trees and this broken property filled with this broken life, when given to Jesus Christ, he's the one who said, but what I see is beautiful and perfect. Watch me put all these broken pieces together like stained glass to become the perfect place to heal the hearts of broken children. And the kids started coming. These horses weren't even trained. They weren't rideable. They weren't strong enough. And these kids started coming, and we didn't even know them. We were volunteering in a youth group, and we'd shared with some of them that, oh, yeah, we rescued these two horses, and, you know, you're welcome to come out anytime. And apparently they had told their friends and their friends and their friends, and pretty soon all these kids are coming, and they all look the same, head down, eyes down. We heard that you guys had some horses that they needed some help, and can we help? Is it okay? And it was like they were asking to come and be accepted. I live in a state that has wild horses, and when horses are orphaned, they will follow a herd for weeks, and they will circle the herd asking, will you receive me? Am I going to be safe in your presence? And these kids looked just like those orphan horses. I need a herd to belong to, and can I be safe in your presence? Will you accept me? And we just said, yes, come. And so the kids started coming. And in their efforts of making the horses better, we started seeing the children getting better. And they weren't coming for what they could get. The horses weren't strong enough. They weren't rideable. The kids were coming for what they could give. And as they gave to the horses, we started seeing their hearts heal. And in a way
that... So you not only see children... teenagers and others healed.
Yes.
But it also heals the horses.
Absolutely. It was like watching two halves of a bridge come together, and together they were complete, each understanding the other better than anyone could understand either one, because they lived parallel lives of either violent abuse or complete neglect. We watched in awe as we started seeing these children connect with these horses like two halves of a bridge. When they came together is when they were whole, each one understanding the other better than anyone could understand either one of them.
Is there any greater thrill for you than bringing somebody to the ranch and introducing them to Jesus Christ for the first time?
No.
You know, no. When we were there before, you did not have a church with 300 people. Mm-hmm. Who were attending. Do you remember that was 2010.
Correct.
I don't know when all this came together, but it was after that, wasn't it?
The fellowship has been growing steadily since that time. And maybe I should back up and say that what we do with horses, it really isn't therapy. It's just loving children with horses that are present and trusting Jesus Christ to meet them in their pain.
Do you get those horses well?
We have been involved in the rescue of more than 300 horses, and any horse person will know that out of 10 horses that have been violently abused, a couple will become good children's horses, and the rest of them we find safe, suitable homes for them where they can live their days in peace and in freedom.
How many horses do you have on the ranch?
Today we have 32. And the number fluctuates depending on our rescues.
How do you feed them all? How do you care for them all?
We trust Jesus that he has never let Crystal Peaks Youth Ranch down. We trust Jesus. He provides in the most crazy, amazing ways. And he's done it for over 22 years. And so we just know that no matter what happens, he's got it. He's got us. We're in good hands.
Kim, you have a glow in your face. Can you explain it? your cheeks glow because there's something inside of you that is radiating Jesus. The love of Christ, isn't it?
The only way that I can answer that is that when Jesus rose again and he met with the disciples, he told them, it's better for you that I go because I'm sending the Comforter. And he's going to be not only with you, he's going to be in you. Trust me, it's better that I go. And what I feel and what I know fills this heart is the presence of the Holy Spirit and every good, powerful, beautiful, loving, joyful thing that he embodies, I have access to. And that wellspring is unquenchable, that I can never pour out more of Jesus' love. It's an unquenchable, unstoppable source that all believers can tap into every minute of every day. And I'm just learning how to carry his presence in this little vessel wherever he calls me to go, everything that he is.
What's the future of Crystal Peaks Youth Ranch?
I've been asked that question many times. And as the ranch grows, now from 9 acres of rock pit to over 100 acres of rock pit and farmland and fields and buildings and arenas and cattle programs and gardens, what I have learned in the last 22 years, if I were to answer that question, it would be far too small. I'm just going to follow Jesus wherever he leads because he's the only one who knows the way.
Beautiful reply. Thanks for coming again to be with us. I will invite you back. Will you come?
I would be so honored.
And bring Troy.
I would be so honored.
We want to keep up with the ranch and know how you're doing.
Yes.
And again, if, you know, Family Talk is a nonprofit organization that lives by the grace of God and the generosity of his people. But in that environment, when I could be and probably should be asking people to support this ministry, I ask them also to think of supporting you and what you're doing, because I believe in this relationship between a broken child and a broken horse. Why that works, I don't know, but I saw it. I was there. I rode Troy's personal horse.
Yes.
It was a special thing to be there, and I want it to prosper. Blessings to you, Kim.
Thank you so much.
Take our regards back to Troy.
Always.
And to the rest of your staff.
They love you. We all do.
And you've got a new book coming out. We'll close with that. What's the title of it?
Encountering Our Wild God.
Now, that is an odd title. Encountering Our Wild God. That almost sounds sacrilegious. What do you mean by it?
What I mean by it is that everything that he is cannot be contained by the understanding of men. His love is so big and so vast and so powerful, we cannot contain it in what we think or understand, but we can experience it. And that is the call of his wild, that nothing that man is can contain anything that God is. And by wild, I mean beautiful, powerful, awe-inspiring. Taste and see. Taste and
taste
see.
Taste and see.
Yes.
Thank you, Kim.
Thank you.
Well, we pray this program has strengthened you and reminded you of the unending love God has for us. If you'd like more information about Crystal Peaks Youth Ranch, by the way, go to drjamesdobson.org and click on today's broadcast page. There you'll get information about Kim Meador's upcoming book called Encountering Our Wild God. You'll also learn information about how you can support Crystal Peaks Youth Ranch financially. Find all of that information on our broadcast tab today at drjamesdobson.org. We also urge you to call Family Talk's listener feedback line and let us know how much this program has impacted you and your family, or any of our other past broadcasts for that matter. The toll-free number is 844-823-2669. That's 844-823-2669. You can also email your comments at feedback@myfamilytalk.com. That's the word feedback@myfamilytalk.com. Thanks for telling us how this ministry is helping you and your family. When you contact us, be sure you also let us know how you listen to Family Talk on a regular basis, whether it's in the car, on the radio there, on our website or the app, or with our friends at oneplace.com. Finally, as we conclude today's broadcast, would you consider partnering with us financially? Your generous gifts empower us to reach those who are hurting and to spread the good news of Jesus Christ to everyone who is listening to our broadcasts. You can go to drjamesdobson.org to make your donation securely online. You can call toll-free 877-732-6825 to make your tax-deductible contribution over the phone. Again, that number is 877-732-6825. Thanks so much for listening to today's broadcast, and be sure to join us again next time for another episode of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. I'm Roger Marsh. Hope the rest of your day is wonderful.
Family Talk is not associated with Focus on the Family.